you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Okay, the most defining political moment, Pat.
President George Bush, the day after losing the election, fires his Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld, in a press conference right up there. It defined a losing war, a losing party, and a losing election.
You know, listening to Pat Buchanan tell the truth, I think I'm starting to get a little wood. You just keep talking like that, Pat. Just keep going. Bush the loser. Losing party, losing moment, losing war, losing ideas. Losing administration, losing tactics. George Bush, the loser. He's a loser and a moron, and he's stupid and he's cruel and he's a racist prick bastard, and he's a loser. Oh, I just get tingly all over when I hear the truth.
Hello.
The midterm elections, which have changed the political landscape and changed the way we're looking at the war in Iraq. Also, the revolt of the generals, led by Major John Batiste, who had led the 1st Armored Division in Iraq, who blew the whistle on Rumsfeld and again transformed the debate on Iraq.
On the other hand, we invaded in March of 2003. We're a few weeks from March 2007. That's 4 years, and lately they've begun to speak up. Seems to me the time for them to speak up is before the 3,000 soldiers died. Let's not give any awards to the damn generals for telling the truth 4 years too late. Why didn't they stand up and scream at the time? You know, these generals, I imagine they're a lot like, not like the Home Depot CEOs where you get to retire at $26 million, but I imagine by the time you're at the Joint Chiefs level, you're probably set up for life. So when Bush said, by God, we have to invade Iraq, because of all the WMDs that are flying our way, well, why didn't they resign then? Why didn't they say, Mr. Bush, you're just nuts? You know, they would have sent a signal. President wants to invade, everybody's for it, but then a shitload of generals just resigned. You'd think the media would almost have to cover a story like that. Gee, you think we could have got the Democrats to bring it up? Probably not. Maybe that's why they didn't resign, because they knew the press wouldn't cover it, and the Democrats wouldn't back them up. They're kind of like the Kurds. If they think someone's behind them, they might take action. But no. In that regard, the Democrats have been like George Bush the Smarter, turning his back on the Kurds so they could get slaughtered 200,000 of them. Way to go, George. You know, you hardly ever hear that. At Poppy Bush's funeral, they're going to talk about all the good things. They're not ever, you know, you might hear the word pardon once, but they're not ever going to bring that up. And what an idiot. You know, they gave Saddam permission to use his helicopters. At the peace treaty, nobody thought about that. They said, you can't fly your airplanes. And he said, okay. And so we left, and he says, but I can fly my helicopter because that's not in the agreement. They're going, oops, our bad. And so he flew his helicopter gunships up north to the Kurds, and they say, wiped out 200,000 of them. Way to go, Bush. Another 200,000. How many Iraqis has the Bush family killed in the last 10, 12 years? Johns Hopkins says 600,000, Poppy Bush about 200,000. You guys are closing in on 1 million. Remember that, Johns Hopkins 600,000, 650 I think it was. That's weeks or months old. That might have come out during the summer. So he may be up to 800 now. Between Morons 8 and Bush the Smarter's 2, we might have 1 million dead Iraqis, but they executed Saddam for the 145. Amazing.
Right. When the general speaks, the president really should listen to them because he said he would.
Gee, John, be careful. You sure you want to go out on that limb? The idiot who deserted his pissant National Guard service so he could do cocaine and drink the Mexican hookers, that guy should listen to the generals who actually know what they're doing, who actually have studied war and have risen in the ranks. So the best generals we have, you really think George Bush ought to listen to them since he's a moron who enjoys murder? Gee, you're such a risk-taker, John. You're on the cutting edge.
Tony.
Senator Allen's macaca moment, an unforced error that symbolized all the unforced errors the Republicans made to give the Democrats the House back.
Well, yeah, Tony, that could be what it was, but, you know, then again, it could be that you guys are such racist bastards just inherently. It's just in your genes. It's in your blood that you just hate black people. You hate foreigners. You hate gays. You hate the poor. You just hate everybody. And then a camera caught you being a bunch of Nazi pricks. You talk about unforced error. Well, hey, you were just being yourself. That's why you guys lost, because people saw the truth. Took them a damn long time, but they finally figured out that Bush was a moron and all his yes men were a bunch of assholes who were letting the boys die because they didn't want to turn on their piece of shit president. So, yeah, they deserve to get thrown out of power. Oh, but you know who really deserves to get thrown out of power? Them Democrats back in 94. They wrote checks on a bank they owned and were late paying the fees. Can you believe? They had to be handled now. As far as rubber stamping the 3,000 dead, I'm shocked that that turned out to be an issue. Notice the Democrats didn't make it one. No. You had Martha and Cindy Sheehan. That was pretty much it. Talk about the war. We just backed into this one. But we're looking forward. We have to be positive. You know, it's been a long 11 years in the fucking wilderness. It's just been a long time. You know, I'm used to being so spiteful and bitter and rejected and all that. And here suddenly we're in the majority again. I don't know how to act.
We're getting a lot of macaca here today, are we not?
Well, there's more macaca.
It was that kind of a
there's
year.
There's more macaca?
It was the defining political moment, because the macaca moment was the thing that said to the Democrats, anything is possible. George Allen was supposed to be the big winner, and he started to fall, and everything fell after that.
You know, I guess there's a chance they know what they're talking about, but did you think we were going to have President George Allen in 2008? I never thought of that. I never even heard that he was running until we fucked up. It was only after Macaca they said, oh, he was thinking about being president. Lawrence here says, oh, he's the darling of the conservatives. I had no idea. I mean, sure, the conservatives love him because he hates black people, and he doesn't mind letting them know it. He doesn't mind putting them in their place. But the deer's head, big-ass bloody deer head in your mailbox, yeah, that puts them in their place. So, yeah, maybe he was the conservative favorite because he's a Nazi bastard. With three K's after his name. George Allen, KKK.
I would endorse that. I think the most defining political moment has to be Allen and his mockery of the man of South Asian descent. It cost him his seat in the United States Senate and quite possibly the Republican nomination for president. Allen mocked the man, quote unquote, with the word macaca has been noted here. Okay, turncoat of the year, Pat.
The neoconservatives, John, in Vanity Fair, they all turned to denounce Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld for messing up their cakewalk war.
Isn't it incredible?
It is incredible.
Are there any limits to hypocrisy?
Well, no, wait, I'm not saying the war was ever a good idea, but we'll never know. I mean, what if Bush had invaded, toppled Saddam right away, captured him right away, convinced the standing army, hey, we're going to be here 90 days. Or, boom, hey, we're gone. It's your country. Why don't you top generals in the army, whatever, get together and elect one of you guys to run the place? And if you come back with the secret police and a bunch of torch and all, then we're just going to come back and kick your ass. So why don't you rule the place like it was your home instead of some concentration camp? We could have done it like that. Bush invaded to steal the oil. So this is kind of pie in the sky business here. But had they not fucked up everything, it's kind of interesting to kick around what might have happened. What if they went in and said, look, we knocked your dictator over. What we're going to do, we're going to pump unmetered oil for a year. That's what we're going to take. That's the price that we're going to put on removing Saddam. But after the year's up, it's your country. Do what you want with it. You know, we suggest you make friends with the Shia because they're here. They're queer. Live with it, whatever. It's your country, do what you want with it. But no, he didn't do that. He had to go in and just steal everything. The little son of a bitch that's still, he's still putting a firecracker in the frog's ass and throwing him in the air. That's what we got. You know, something else, a story that died real quick. Remember the story about Bush farting all the time? A new one of these little newbies, some freshman newbie comes in there and he says, hi, this is the President of the United States. And he lifts a leg up and farts real loud. You know, it's like, oh, what a dick. They're not going to say that because he's, you know, you're in the White House, you're in the Oval Office, and everything's so solemn like a damn cathedral. And then the big monkeys just fart out. Yeah, thanks, President Fart Joke. And he's doing this, what, with 2,000 men dead? I mean, he did this like two-thirds of the way through the war, this came out, that he's still doing this. Like, dude, it's in the damn video game. These are real people's lives here that you're throwing away. Can you take shit seriously for just a minute? Maybe even postpone a vacation long enough to talk about the war and how you're going to get out of it? Maybe go for a few less bike rides. Maybe go for a few less runs on the treadmill. Mr. Low Heartbeat. Doctor said he's in perfect shape. Yeah, from the neck down.
I agree. I had so many contenders for turncoat, though. Joe Lieberman, of course, left the Democratic Party, became an independent. And also Bob Woodward, who wrote two flattering books about the presidency and the leading up to war, and then wrote a book that basically said Bush was not telling the truth about how bad things are. Bob Woodward helped change the debate on Iraq as well.
Well, poor clueless Eleanor. Actually, she's got that backwards. He's not the turncoat for writing the third honest book. He is the turncoat for writing the first two dishonest books. Woodward is a whore who wants to sell books, so he's going to write about whatever's hot at the moment, and he's going to praise it. And then once the war turned sour and everybody thought, hey, this Katrina monkey can't handle a goddamn thing, all of a sudden then Woodward starts telling the truth. To me, that's just being a bad human being. There's nothing wrong with the truth, you know? You can put a little salt and pepper on it and instill the truth. But no, to come out with just flat bullshit, horseshit lies, Bush is, oh, he's so great. Oh, he knows what he's doing. Oh, he's a real man. Remember, Woodward's the one that said after 9/11, swear to God, he said this after 9/11, that Der Monkey was poking Colin Powell in the chest saying, this is what I want done. Poking a man like that in the chest. God knows Colin Powell's a whore, and he's been blowing Bush since the day he got there. But I really doubt that George Bush started poking this general in the chest saying, here's what I want done. Get it handled. Now, that didn't happen. Bush never did that in his life. If he's not playing bully, you know, if he's got a weaker kid to pick on and he's got his gang standing behind him, that's the only time he's the real George Bush. And that's not what we have with 9/11. He was peeing in his pants out of shock. And remember, he couldn't go on camera live. No, as the hours went by, he was able to produce a videotape like he was in some damn cave. But now, Woodward always, I don't know what year he turned whore, but the only time we know he told the truth is way the fuck back in the 70s when he exposed corruption. Then he became corruption and started covering up for it. Bob Woodward, thy name is whore.
Mm-hmm. You're turning on Woodward.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not turning on Woodward. Woodward turned on them.
Lawrence. That's right. It doesn't get better than Richard Perle turning on Bush over the Iraq war. But most recently, Colin Powell is perceived in the White House to be one of the big turncoats of the year because he's finally speaking his mind about what is possible in Iraq.
I'm disgusted every time I see Colin Powell on Jay Leno out there, and Jay Leno's just kissing his ass. Oh, you're such a great man. You're such a great politician. You're such a little guy. You grew up in Harlem. Now you're the biggest and greatest in the whole world. And no, Jay, it's not like that. He's a son of a bitch who sent 3,000 men to their deaths because he didn't want to speak up, because I guess he wanted to be president at one time. I don't know why he thinks it's so important to kiss Bush's ass. I don't know why anybody thought it was a good idea to kiss Bush's ass. Maybe between the time of the election and the beginning of the administration, if somebody was looking for some power, hey, George, you don't need a good secretary or whatever? Think about me. Maybe then. But, you know, once he's in the position and the jobs are filled, I don't see what's wrong with telling them the truth. Why not just tell them, no, hey, dumbass, that's a stupid idea. If you do that, if you go invade Iraq, I'm out of here, and I'm taking everybody I can think of with me. We're going to show the world. It's still like, remember when Clinton had all his Monica troubles? If Hillary had walked out on him then, that would have been, triple devastating, you know. If Hillary, all she's got to do is go on 60 Minutes and say, I can't trust the son of a bitch, you can't either. Oh, boy, he would have, boom, goodbye, gone. Pickle's in the same position, but she doesn't have a brain. All she's got is Bush, so she's going to stick with him for the wrong reasons, but she's going to stick with him. But as far as Colin Powell and the generals, it would have been so easy. You know, Colin, we want you to go to the UN and read this pack of lies. And he said, this is bullshit, and threw it in the air. And they said, now, Colin, be a good boy. Do what you're told. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then he went over there, did what he did. Sold the war largely on his personal likability and convincibility. New word there. But yeah, it was basically Powell's reputation that people said, well, all right, if Powell said those aluminum tubes is what he's using to launch, and it looks to me like he's getting ready to launch, so I guess we need to go. But no, Colin Powell did that. 3,000 soldiers. Why doesn't somebody put Colin Powell on a live TV camera some Sunday morning and say, dude, why did you fuck that up? What do you say to the 3,000 parents, the 3,000 widows that had to go to that funeral because you didn't have the balls to speak the truth? Explain yourself, Mr. Powell, and then shut the hell up and just let him look at the camera and just let it go. Colin Powell killed those 3,000 men.
Absolutely.
Did the job.
It's what I really think.
She worked hard at it.
Is she going to want another job? Do you think she's going to want to... do you think she'll run?
I don't know. I know that she hasn't decided yet. And I know, you know, we're in a different place in our lives. I mean, I think that if she believes that she'd be the best person, if she's got a real plan and if she thinks she can win, she might do it. But whatever she does is fine with me, and whatever she does, I'll support. I do know this. And you can just see this from her performance the last 6 years. If she ran and could win, she'd be great at the job. That's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I decided not to run in 1988, when I think I thought I could have been nominated. I thought I was a good enough politician to be elected, but I didn't think I was mature enough to serve. I didn't think I was quite ready.
Gee, I wonder if he's speaking to Barack Obama about being not quite ready, just not quite ready.
It's just a judgment you have to make. But in 92, I had a very clear idea of exactly what I wanted to do. And I think that she would have the benefit of all those years, plus being in the Senate, plus, you know, she just know what not to do as well as what to do and how to do it, and she has experience with people in Congress. I think she'd be great, but it's a very personal decision, and I just don't know what she's going to do. She'll just have to make up her mind, but she's still kind of happy about what happened and thinking about what they're going to do at the beginning of next year, so she'll, in the Congress, I mean. The Democrats have a huge responsibility now, because they got such a broad-based group of voters to back them, and they had to be very careful with it and very deliberate, and they had to produce results, and I think she's focused on that. But when she decides, whatever she decides, I'll suit up and play.
Do you think that the country is ready for a woman president? I mean, if she would run, do you think that there are still people that would be shocked by that?
I think there are some, and we won't know how many, and we won't know whether until someone actually tries. It's this: whenever you break a barrier, you can say, well, I think we're ready. I mean, you know, Chile's got a woman president. United Kingdom, Israel, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, a lot of countries in the world have had female leaders. Germany now has a woman chancellor. But until somebody actually runs, you just won't know, because people, sometimes they don't even know their own minds about new things until the decision is there. And I think it will depend very much on the individual, what the times are, what the, you know, it'll still be determined by the facts of the case. But I think there will be some reserve in some people's minds about voting for any woman for president. And then I think most of it will melt away in the campaign. But we won't know for sure till it happens.
Well, I'd like to see it tried out anyway. I mean, I hope she does run, because I think it would be amazing just to...
As always, our last elected president had a pretty good point. It's not going to get down to, are we ready for a woman president? What we're going to get down to is, do you want a whore like McCain or Giuliani in there, or would you rather have the senator from New York? It's not going to be a woman on the ballot. It's going to be her if she gets the nomination, and it's going to be whoever she's running against. And I think she's smart enough, and her husband's smart enough, that they can build a campaign against pretty much anybody. If Giuliani runs, they're going to say he's got no foreign policy experience. If McCain runs, they're going to say he's more of the same. If you want 4 more years of Bush, vote for McCain. I think they can frame the debate intelligently, unlike anybody else in the whole damn Democratic Party. calming down. But if Hillary decides to run, she's going to win. I think that's the end of the story. If you disagree, fine. We can disagree on that. I'm just saying. I'm betting on the front runner. And just to clarify one more time, my support for Hillary lasts as long as she's the front runner. If a year from now someone is 10 points ahead of her, I'm going to be for that person. And it's not that I'm willy-nilly wherever the wind blows. It's just I'm going to support whoever's in the best candidate. I'm not going to be one of those crazies. Sorry if he's your candidate, but Kucinich is not going to be president. It's not going to happen. And if you were a 1,000% I love Dennis Kucinich kind of guy, well, okay, he's not going to be president. You can support him all you want, but he's not going to be president. And same for Ralph Nader. So I would hate to see people throw their vote away because the some bumper sticker slogan that Ralph Nader thought up. We lost two elections because people thought like that. Let's not lose a third.